In the Hebrew letter, chapter 2, the Hebrew writer says, "For this reason we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it. For if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was at first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard, God also testifying with them both by signs and wonders and by various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit according to His own will." The Hebrew writer alludes to the fact that it's quite possible that anyone might drift away from the Lord. Drifting is something that, well, it's context. Sometimes we think of drifting as a pleasant thing. We like to drift off to sleep peacefully. But when we're talking about a pathway or we're talking about a journey, we don't want to drift. If we're going down the interstate, we don't want to drift into the other lane or drift off into the ditch. We don't want to drift off to sleep while we're driving. If we're in an airplane and we're traveling, we don't want the airplane to drift off course. And if we're out on the lake or the river or the creek or whatever it is, we don't want to just drift along. Because those are situations in which we've lost control. We may not realize it, but they are situations in which we have lost control. And when we think about drifting, there are several things that come to mind. First off, when we're talking about drifting, we're making an acknowledgement that there are currents and winds, or maybe wind currents, that can take control of us. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 29, we read, "I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them." And when Paul wrote to the Ephesian brethren in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14, "so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes." When we talk about currents and winds, and we're talking in a spiritual sense, this is what we're talking about. Allowing others to pull us away. And we need to be careful and cautious. We need to beware of drifting in our spiritual lives. In order to avoid such drifting, we need to have a solid anchor to our souls. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 19, Paul says, "Holding fast to the head is something we need to do." He's giving rebuke about some who were not holding fast to the head in that particular verse. But we read over in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23 that we are to hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who is promised is faithful. If we want to avoid drifting, we need to have a good and solid anchor. We want to talk a little bit, mainly this evening, about some of the things that we need to be watching out for lest we do drift away from the Lord. And the thing that is talked about in our text this evening in Hebrews chapter 2 is neglect. As we read there just a moment ago, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation, if we don't grab a hold of it as it goes by? If someone is flying a plane and they're not paying attention to what's going on, they neglect to watch the meters and gauges and such that they have, or if you're driving down the interstate and you neglect to watch, you're going to drift. In fact, I'm told, okay, I'll admit, I've actually tried it. If you get out in an open space and close your eyes and try to walk in a straight line, you're going to drift to one side or the other. You can't do a straight line. You're going to drift no matter what you do. If you neglect to set you an anchor point, you're going to drift. Neglect can cause us to drift away from the Lord. Doubt is something that can cause us to drift away from the Lord. We read in James chapter 1 and verse 6, let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. Being driven and tossed by the wind is never a good thing, especially when you're trying to get somewhere in particular. If we ask for faith, we need to do it without doubting, because doubt can cause us to shift off or drift away from the Lord. Another thing that we find in Scripture that is equated with drifting, and that is 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 20, where Paul talks about jealousy. He doesn't necessarily use the term drifting there, but the point is moving away from the Lord. For I fear that perhaps when I come, I may not find you as I wish, and that you may not find me as you wish, that perhaps there may be quarreling, jealousy, anger, hostility, slander, gossip, conceit, disorder. Or as James puts it in James chapter 3 and verse 16, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. These things can cause us to drift away from the Lord. Covetousness is something that will cause us to drift from the Lord. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10, a passage we looked at this morning actually, in talking about our responsibility to deal properly and responsibly with our resources. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. Covetousness, allowing the things of the world to attract us, and going after them will cause us to drift off of the straight and narrow path. Peter says in 2 Peter 2, forsaking the right way, they have gone astray. They have followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved gain from wrongdoing. Another one of the winds or currents that will cause us to drift is selfishness. In Philippians 2 and verse 21, they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. Or the warning of Jude in verse 11 through 13. Woe to them! They walked in the way of Cain and abandoned themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's error and perished in Korah's rebellion. These are hidden reefs at your love feast, as they feast with you without fear. Shepherds feeding themselves. Selfishness. Waterless clouds swept along by winds. Fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead, uprooted, wild waves of the sea, casting up the foam of their own shame, wandering stars for whom the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved forever. Selfishness is one of those things that can allow us or cause us to drift away from the Lord. It has a very strong pull. If we're not careful, we can be overcome with such things, even with pride. It's good to be proud of what we have done, to acknowledge the accomplishments that we have made. But we cannot let that overwhelm us, because it will take us into things that we do not want to go into. It will get us into waters that we're not prepared to handle. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 18 and 19, let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by a sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through his joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. We looked at verse 19 earlier, talking about not holding fast to the head. Those that aren't holding fast to the head are those who are puffed up without reason in their sensuous mind. They've got an attitude of superiority. This is one of the things that was pulling the Corinthian brethren away from the Lord, was causing such difficulty among those brethren there in Corinth. They were excessively proud of some of the gifts that they had. And others were jealous of the gifts that others had. And it was causing a rift in the congregation, because they were pulling away from the Lord. They were drifting because they were letting these kinds of attitudes get in their way. There's another that we must constantly be on guard against, and that is fear. That's the issue with the one talent man in the parable of the talents. I was afraid, and so I didn't do anything. I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. Fear will keep us from remaining on the straight and narrow path. It can cause us to drift away from the Lord. Another one is discouragement. Maybe this is one of those things that gets in the way of a lot of Christians. We get discouraged about what's going on. We begin to think things aren't moving forward like we think they ought to. My life is not any better than it was 5 years ago or 10 years ago. And we begin to get discouraged with what's going on in our life or what's happening in the congregation. And we begin to look in other areas. We stop keeping our focus on Jesus, as the Hebrew writer tells us we need to do. And we begin to drift off course. Discouragement. Fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged, Paul told the Colossian brethren. See, that's one of the things that got me off course in plowing the field. Well, I didn't really plow, but working the tiller for Dad growing up. I'd get discouraged that I was having to be out there doing that. I'd get to thinking about other things and not paying attention to what I was doing because that wasn't getting me excited, just walking out there behind the tiller. It worked for the first time or two. But after that, and get to the end and I look back and I got a row that does like this. I wasn't keeping my eye on the goal. And when we get discouraged, things get between us and God. They get in our way and we lose sight of what we're headed for. I know that there are things that discourage us. There are those who have imbalances in the chemicals in their brain and their bodies that they're prone to these sort of things. But I'm convinced that as Christians, when we start to feel discouragement, what we need to do first and foremost is look to the Lord. We need to go back and read those passages that talk about God being with us and God watching over us and God caring for us. We need to go back and read from the writings of David, from the book of Job, from the writings of Nehemiah, of Ezra, and all of those, Daniel and Esther and Ruth, even the stories about Abraham. And the stories of the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts. And those things will help us to move through that discouragement. It's not going to solve all discouragement or depression as we look at it oftentimes. And I know they're not equivalent, but a lot of times they come together. We get discouraged and we start feeling down and it just puts us further down and further down. And going back and looking at these things can keep us from drifting away from the Lord. We need an anchor. And that anchor needs to be the Word of God. Yet, there are still other winds and currents that get in our way. We touched on the Corinthian brethren and the strife that was among them. That strife was a result of pride and jealousy, a result of covetousness, desire to have what someone else had. And Paul told them when he wrote to them in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3, you're still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? If we are overtaken with strife, it's going to pull us away from the Lord. It's going to be a very strong current or a very strong wind that will blow crosswise of our course and blow us completely off course if we're not watching carefully. And as Paul touches on here, that strife can be caused by any number of things. We also recognize from reading from the book of 1 Corinthians, strife was caused not just by their own internal difficulties and problems, but by their desire to follow after a certain man rather than all being devoted to Christ. Strife will cause us to drift off course in serving the Lord. In a similar manner to this idea that Paul had to deal with the Corinthian brethren regarding them following after particular men, popularity is something that can cause us to drift off course. In fact, we can be drawn completely away from the Lord because we begin to put more focus on some individual than we do on God. But then there's also the other side of that. In John chapter 9 and verse 22, one who was healed by Jesus, his parents were brought in to ask if he was this way, if he truly had been healed. And they responded, go ask him, because they didn't want to get involved because they didn't want to lose their position with the Jewish leaders. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if someone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. They were afraid of losing their position in the synagogue. And therefore, they would not stand up and speak the truth or speak for themselves. They laid it off on somebody else. In doing so, they were drifting away from the principles and teachings that they had followed from the law of Moses. We read in John chapter 12, even more so of those who were of the authorities. It says, nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in him, talking about Jesus. But for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue, for they love the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. Popularity, position, place in a particular area of society is something that can cause us to drift away from the Lord. If we put more importance upon the accolades and praise of men than we do on obedience to the will of God, we're guaranteed to drift off course in our walk toward heaven. We're going to miss. And folks, we need to understand that it doesn't take very much of a drift in order to cause us to miss our destination. One of the problems that Dad told me, I used to go fishing with Dad, and every now and then he'd be real brave and he'd let me drive the boat. But he didn't do it very often because I wasn't good at staying steady on course. Whenever some kind of turn or something happened, I would overcompensate and get way off and have to come way back, and we'd be doing like this, going out there for me trying to get things corrected. I don't know whether I get any better at that now or not. I'm not too bad on the interstate. My wife might say something different than that. But I say that because it doesn't take very much to get completely off course. If a airplane that's headed over to London gets just a half a degree off course, they're going to miss their airport. We have to constantly be watching for these things that might blow us off course. Make sure that we're staying steady. We need an anchor. We need a focus. And the attitudes and accolades and praise of men is not the focus that will keep us straight in line with Jesus. Of course, we recognize that another that will distract us and cause us to drift is deception. Paul talks about this in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14. So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunningness, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. You know, when we talk about some of the things that our religious friends in the denominational world are engaged in, some of the practices that are entrenched within them, sometimes we talk about the fact that there are those who are honestly deceived. They have been deceived by someone to think that what they believe is the truth. And then there's also those who are the deceivers, who know that what they're teaching sometimes is not what the Bible says, but they're entrenched in it and they want everyone else to follow after them. Either way, the problem is you're pulled off course. You're sent down the wrong road. We must constantly be on guard against deception because it will cause us to drift away. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings. For it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those devoted to them. Hebrews 13 and verse 9. We recognize that a part of this teaching is dealing with the issues that the first century Christians had with the various ones that were pulling them back into the ways of the old law, or pulling them back toward the ways of the pagan worship that they had done, and certain foods and certain things and certain practices. And the Hebrew writer says, that's not the case. They're deceiving you. Get back to the Word of God. Paul told the Galatian brethren, I don't have this on the screen, but you know where he told the Galatian brethren in Galatians chapter 1 that they needed to stop listening to anyone who was not teaching them the same thing that they had already been taught. He said, I'm amazed that you're so soon removed from the doctrine that you've been taught, from the gospel that I presented to you. It's not another doctrine, but it is a doctrine that has been perverted by those who want to pull you away after themselves. Deception. Another wind or current that can cause us to drift off course, and this one can catch us off guard if we're not very careful, is pleasure. We enjoy things. We enjoy doing things. Some of us were talking before services about the direction that some of our entertainment has gone nowadays, and things that we might would have watched in the past, we can't watch those sort of things anymore because they've changed and they've turned into the ways of evil. And I heard something the other day that PG-13 movies are allowed a certain number of curse words. They can only have so many, but they are allowed a certain number of particular kinds of curse words. When I was growing up, we didn't have PG-13 movies. We had PG movies. And we had G movies. And we had R movies. But those things have changed over time. And we enjoy watching a good show, escapist to some degree, or maybe we can see some things that we wouldn't be able to see otherwise. But we've got to watch out for that. Because just because it's something that we enjoy doesn't mean it's something we can engage in. And certainly there are all kinds of pleasures that we recognize we should stay away from. So we have to constantly be on guard. I'm sure you've probably heard this passage quoted in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2 through 7. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, unheartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. For among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at the knowledge of the truth. You know why Timothy was given that warning? Because there's going to come a time when people won't listen to the plain, simple preaching of the Word of God because they're seeking after things that make them feel good. And if we ever were living in a society that was described by these words, we certainly are now. By the way, I got some quotes from back in the 50s and 60s, if I can go find them, that tell you basically the same thing about those times too. It's not something new. But we need to be watching out. The one who is self-indulgent is dead, even while she lives. That doesn't just apply to women. That applies to men and women both. When we get focused upon pleasing ourselves, on finding enjoyment in life, it causes us to drift away from the Lord. Worldliness. Another aspect of this, Paul said, Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. James in James 4 and verse 4 says, you adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. getting caught up in the things of this world and of this life will pull us away from the Lord, will blow us off course. And then, of course, there's indifference. The rebuke we see in Revelation 3, verse 15 and 16, I know your works, you're neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot, so because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spit you out of my mouth. And of course, lust. Each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. There is certainly a danger in these things of drifting, of pulling us off course and serving the Lord. And it's something that can happen without us even knowing it until it's too late to do anything about it. Got a story that Brother Billy Norris printed in his bulletin, I don't remember how many years ago. It's been many years ago. Brother Norris has been gone for several years. And he wrote about two young men who were fishing on a local river or local creek. And they were all intent and watching what was going on with their fishing, trying to catch fish and such, and didn't notice that they were drifting. And until it was already too late, they didn't realize they were drifting toward a waterfall. It took them several days to find both of the young men because they lost their life. And while that's a sad story and we recognize that, the only good part is Brother Norris said he had just baptized one of them into the faith a few weeks earlier. But it illustrates the danger of drifting. We don't know what's ahead of us when we start drifting off to the side, or when we just allow ourselves to drift along with whatever's happening. That's why we must constantly be working against, because in our drifting, we're headed to darkness, if nothing else. Remember Jude, verse 11 through 13? For whom the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved forever. Or the sorrow that Paul talks about to the young man, or to Timothy, is the root. The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with much sorrow or many pangs, depending on what version you're reading from. It leads to destruction. It leads to being lost. And instead of drifting, we need to have an anchor that we hold fast to. We need to have a focus that we use to ensure that we keep in the faith. That's what the Hebrew writer is telling us when he says in Hebrews 2 and verse 1, we need to pay much closer attention to what we've heard, lest we drift away from it. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We need to keep our eyes straight ahead. I'm well aware, because I've been told several times, some of the reasons that I weave a little bit on the interstate. I don't stay directly in the middle of my lane, because I look off at things that are off to the side. You shouldn't have to shake your head so hard there. If we keep our eyes focused on where we're going, that's why my rows weren't straight. I didn't find me a spot and stick to it. I'd get distracted by what was going around. We need an anchor, a focus that we can hold fast to, that draws our attention and keeps it. I'm coming soon. Hold fast what you have so that you may receive your crown. Actually, this version says, so no one may seize your crown. You hold on to it diligently so it can't be taken away from you. Paul told the Colossian brethren, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Notice, stable and steadfast, not shifting. Sing a song sometimes. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. No matter what comes upon us, if we anchor in the Lord, we can stand firm. We can be, as Paul told the Corinthian brethren, steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We can, as Paul told the Ephesian brethren, stand firm because we're anchored and surrounded by the Word of God. Do not be led away by diverse or strange teaching, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, by the Word of God, the Hebrew writer tells us. We need to become mature. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 and 15, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. Drifting is evidence of our immaturity, of our unwillingness to take a stand and to strengthen ourselves and to grow up in the Lord. We need an anchorage because that anchorage gives us hope. Gives us acceptance, allows us to know that God will accept us. We will be blameless and above reproach. Colossians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23, as we close, He has now reconciled in his body of flesh by His death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before Him, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, of which I, Paul, have become a minister. We need to avoid drifting. The only way to avoid drifting is to anchor our souls in the Lord. A firm and steadfast anchor. Not some little lightweight thing that we throw out there just hoping that it will work. But a big, solid, heavy chunk buried in the Lord. Tied by the Word. Lest we drift away from the faith. Focus on the Lord. Keeping our eye on Him. So that we can travel straight down the pathway that He's laid out for us. If you look this evening and find you straight, I urge you to correct that. Pray to God and ask Him to forgive. He's promised that He will if we will confess our sins. If you need the help of brethren, if it's a struggle that you're having trouble overcoming, and we can assist in that, certainly let us know. We can pray with you and for you, and we can do what we can to help anchor you in the Lord. Help you hold on. We can assist you in getting your life right with the Lord, or holding on to the anchor of God. Why not come and let your desire be known while we stand and sing for you?